6:11 and change. Cindy and Chuck Briscoe in studio to talk about persevering through a pancreatic cancer. That's coming up shortly. Joining us right now, Suzanne Cantra, editor-in-chief, Techalicious. Topic, Comcast adds their own. They want to get in the game, I guess, Suzanne. So they're going to add their own little entree there called Stream to try to compete with Netflix and things of this nature. Are they a little late to the game here?
Well, they're sort of a little late, and they're coming to the party with a really lame offering. You know, for one thing, you can't get it on your television. You have to look at it on an app on your laptop or on your tablet or your smartphone. So there's no way to actually get it directly into your television to be able to watch TV the way that a lot of people still like to watch television. They do have all the networks, and they do have HBO. But beyond that, a lot of those other sort of specialty networks, they just don't have. So then you're adding on additional fees, or you're going to have to get it in some other way, shape, or form with another subscription service.
And this is why I no longer have Comcast. Every time it comes with a little something. No, just tell me what I get and how much it costs. I don't want a bundle. I don't just tell me what it costs for this. Don't add things on and sneak things in. But this whole game is obviously changing the way we watch TV, and that is watching on your laptop, watching it at an airport while you wait for your plane or while you wait for somebody to come in, et cetera. How competitive is this game going to get? Is this the game changer, so to speak, of the next 5 years?
It's a nod to what's happening, right? People want to watch what they want to watch, where they want to watch it. They don't want to pay for what they're not watching. And so this is an effort to be able to give people some choice. And so if you don't watch the networks, then maybe you're going to be interested in watching Sling TV, which doesn't have network access but has a lot of other things like ESPN, for instance, and their basic plan for $20 a month. And so people are going to think about, how do I like to watch television, what do I like to watch, and how can I get it in the cheapest way possible that still doesn't make me, at the end of the day, feel like I'm missing out on everything. So it's not just about having access to programs, it's about the timing of that access. Do you have to wait a week? Do you have to wait a few months to be able to watch what everybody else has already viewed? So there's so much going on right now in terms of these games and licensing and fee structures. It's going to take a little while for it all to settle out.
When Netflix decided to create original programming, does that mean A, they're here for the long haul, and B, it's going to become more expensive?
Well, they're definitely here for the long haul. There's absolutely no question about that. And the reason for getting into the content game is to be able to give people something they can only get through Netflix, right? If it's that must-see program and it's only on Netflix, maybe people will want to pony up that, you know, $8, $9 a month, depending on how many streams you want to be able to come into your house or to other locations. And so, you know, a value proposition, right? So we, you know, at our house, we have Netflix, we have Amazon Prime, so with their instant videos, so Amazon's in the game creating their own programming for its, you know, constituents of Amazon Prime viewers. And so everybody's trying to pull at this big audience and say, hey, look over here, I have the best offering, I have things that nobody else has, and they're fantastic, so come on over. And they've done some really wonderful, you know, programs out there.
Do we at some point in time, though, the computer and the TV, we don't distinguish between, in other words, all the programming's on one or the other, and it doesn't matter where you are, you take it with you and you plug it into that hotel TV and you get what you got back home and all the, is that the direction we're heading here?
Absolutely. So I believe it's Marriott who has an agreement with, I believe, Netflix, where you can use your Netflix subscription on a Marriott television, and you're not paying anything extra. You're just tapping into your existing subscription. And so, you know, again, it's saying, if you have a subscription to us, you're going to be able to get your content where you want it, whenever you want it, and we have a great amount of choice. And so, you know, when you look at it, you know, how much money do you pay for cable, or do you pay for pay TV services, if you want to be completely correct about this? You know, a lot of people spend a lot of money to be able to have access. And so, you know, if you're just paying for what you need, are you going to feel better about it? And is there going to be enough money going back into the pool so that our choices aren't limited, right?
Yep.
The little guys still need to be able to make some good money and come out with great programming and not just on YouTube.
Yeah, and I think they all are, the way it looks to me, the way I've got this thing. And Netflix has Magnum PI, you know, so I didn't know. Then I got all these DVDs that I had bought. Has it really cut into the DVD sales? Because it used to be we'd buy them by the season, and now Netflix, for the most part, can take care of all that?
Well, you know, somebody's getting a cut of that pie, right? Somebody's getting paid for access to those seasons, and they're getting a good, you know, a good fee for that. Yeah, I think one of the things is that, you know, people don't want to be storing these. DVDs, especially if you have family, they get scratched. I can't tell you how many DVDs I bought for my kids, and you know, the third time out, it breaks when it falls out of
the
car.
Boy, is that frustrating when you're just getting into it and all of a sudden it's stuck.
Exactly. They're like, Mom, it's not playing.
Yep.
And they do like this funny dance. I'm like, what are you doing? And they're like, oh, it makes it play again, right? But part of it is also about how much bandwidth you have coming into your house, right? Do you have a big enough pipe to be able to watch it at the resolution of your high definition, your ultra high definition television? Do you want to have the ultimate viewing experience? And so is there still a place for paying more for actual physical media, so discs, or for paying more to be able to see it in higher resolution, just the way that people are paying extra to see things in 3D?
Well, we'll probably be in touch with you in about a month when it changes again. But Suzanne, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take Suzanne care. Cantor, editor-in-chief at Techalicious, as the TV world changes. On the other side, Cindy and Chuck Briscoe in studio. Interesting story to tell. Battle with cancer, to be sure. But the spirit of the people that have touched their lives, to be more certain. Stay with us, Mike Max for John Williams on WCCO. Welcome back. Mike Max in for John Williams on a hot, muggy Monday. WCCO is going to lake again this week. This Friday, Chad Hartman broadcast live from Cold Spring along with Adam Carter. And from WCCO-TV, Kim Johnson and Kylie Burse, brought to you by Nutrisource Super Premium Pet Foods, Hagee's Pizza, and Mick Golden Light. Details at WCCO.com. In this life of reporting, you get to meet a lot of interesting people. Chuck and Cindy Briscoe are two such folks because I met them, it's been almost 2 years ago. And the crux of the story was that Cindy had been diagnosed with cancer. And to see how her students, former athletes that she had coached, had rallied around her to try to show support and to be uplifting to her. But it's been an interesting study as I followed Chuck and his career now, the principal at Hill Murray High School, just in what it's all about, this journey through life that we go through and the ups and the downs and the people that intersect in our lives is at minimum fascinating. And I thank you both for coming in studio and sharing the story.
Well, thank you for inviting us.
Take me back, Cindy, the diagnosis, the day you get it, and what's it feel like?
Well, actually, the day that I was diagnosed with cancer had been a whirlwind kind of day, and I was numb, just pretty much numb, just kind of walking through all the different places I had to be in the probably 4 days, and it was probably, maybe a week and a half after everything got started that I was able to think about what was going on, and it was a lot to take in, but it moved so quickly that I didn't have a whole lot of time to think about what was going to happen. You know, you just get on a path, and you've got your oncologist, and you've got your nurses, and they just keep you plugged in, and you just hit the road.
Do you live in shock? Do you think right away? I mean, what goes through you when do you just focus right away on how do we beat this thing? What happens?
It's a devastating type of cancer, so you think about it as, not that any other cancer isn't, but the background with pancreatic cancer isn't real, real bright, so, or the future. I think that it was hard to really get my whole head around it for a while, and I was just very, very fortunate that people were right around the corner and hands open, arms open, and a ton of support. So it's very scary, and you start wondering, why me? And then that all has to go away in order for you to focus on getting better or making it through each chemo. You just have to go in and think, All right, here we go. Let's get this show on the road. Let's go.
And sitting next to you today, your husband, Chuck, as I mentioned, now the principal at Hill Murray High School and has been in education for a long time. And, Chuck, you're used to being in charge and coming up with solutions to every problem. That's yeah. the nature of what you've done your whole life.
Right.
What's it like when somebody says, you know what, all you can do is cheer on the sidelines because you haven't got the answers and you haven't got control?
Well, I think driving down here, I think it was almost – 2 years to the day that she was diagnosed. And I remember the doctor's words saying, don't look online, it's pretty grim. Well, it's hard not to look online then.
Yeah.
And you see that you've got a 5% chance to make it a year. And one of Cindy's first lines has always stuck with me. She said, well, you know, somebody's got to get in that 5%. Why not me? Why can't I get there? But I've been a giver my whole career and life. It's a lot easier to be a giver than a receiver.
Yeah.
A lot of it has been very humbling. I mean, I had people praying for us, people coming out of the woodwork giving us meals. They know I can't cook anything, so they said, Chuck, lift the bag with two hands, Chuck. Here's how you turn an oven on. And it was just very humbling to twice a week take home a big bag of food that somebody, in some cases I did not even know, had made for us just because they cared about us. So I've seen the toughness and grit, Cindy, I mean, I thought I was pretty gritty surviving for 30 years as a principal, but I'm not near as tough as Cindy has been through this fight. So I'm just I'm a caregiver, kind of trying to hold things together, but it was numbing at times, and you start to think, what's the future look like? So I told the kids at graduation this year, you know, since that, I've never looked at time the same way. Every day I try to do something that's going to make something out of that day, realizing that, you know, our life is pretty linear. There's no guarantee that we're going to be around for, you know, another decade or so. So we've tried to just value each day.
Yeah, I just told the story, you know, of a young man that I grew up with.
Yeah.
A year older than I, who was riding his bike on Friday and got hit by a truck and died. I mean, I mean, I know we say this every time, but what do you say, right? I mean, you can't explain a lot of things in life, and you got to learn that there's certain things you got to turn over to something. I mean, I don't know what it is everybody y'all believe in out there, but you got to understand that we're not the final. We don't have the final say in all these things, and I don't know. You know, I guess you can only come to terms with that when you face it head on. But I'll say that when we come back, I want to know what you've learned about life that you didn't know before this that has become a gift, because part of the beauty of this whole story is that you two have chosen to make a positive out of this whole journey. And we'll ask you those questions when we come back. Chuck and Cindy Briscoe in studio on WCCO. Radio.com. Radio.com. Welcome back. Mike Maxson for John Williams. Ron Shearer and Steve Thompson will throw it around tonight. Why Ron was not able to catch a fish with this warm front coming in, it sounded like it shut things down for him. This time it was a warm front. He'll explain at 7 o'clock. Cindy and Chuck Briscoe in studio, diagnosed 2 years ago with pancreatic cancer and what they have learned about life since then. Cindy, we came to know your story because we got a call from some of the students at a school that were going to do something special for you at a football game. Explain this first time that you saw this kind of outpouring and what they did for you.
Well, it was just way off my radar, and I get a phone call at home. I had just been to a chemotherapy, so get a phone call, and it's a wonderful girl that I had when she was in eighth grade, and she said, Mrs. Briscoe, you don't have to say anything yet. Just listen to me. And she said, we want to do something. We don't know what to do.
Yep.
So we decided we're going to do, get some T-shirts. We're going to do something with that. And we want you to come to the game, and we're going to do a purple out for you. Will you do it? Can I do it? Is it okay?
Yep.
And I said, geez, Sarah, you know what? I have to think about it for a minute. I don't want you guys to get out. And what if, you know, just the what ifs all the time. That's the way I was thinking at that point. And she said, no, we're going to do it. If you say it's good, I already have it figured out at the middle school, and Mr. Gerton's going to help me, and blah. It went on, and it was unbelievable. And when I got to the field, My whole family was surrounding me, and then my school family. It was awesome.
Both families there.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. And completely unexpected as far as what would have happened, but kids were very kind. And
what does that tell you about kids?
They're awesome.
They get it more than you think? What does it tell you?
No, they get it real well. I think the problem is they don't always have ways to express it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not right there with them, they, you know, they're thinking about, you know, they're thinking about stuff all the time. But sometimes they just need someone else to get things fired up for them. And they go, they just go. They take it in a whole new level. And, you know, it's coming straight from their hearts.
Yep. Yep. Oh. Chuck, what was it like to stand out on the football field that night?
Well, I tell you, it was going to be a great game, two powerhouse teams, but you walk in and their school colors are, I think, navy, blue, and gold, and it looked like you were at a Vikings game. I mean, it was a literal
purple. Purple's the color of pancreatic cancer.
Purple's the color of pancreatic cancer. And so what Sidney got was really what somebody would get, you know, at the end of your career when you're retired. I think it was a way for parents, students to say, hey, you did something special here, and we want to stand up and support you. And that was amazing. I mean, it was all that stuff that's happened. It's just so amazing, but yet it's very, very humbling because you'd like to say thanks to the people, a lot of whom you don't know, and they want to do something to help you.
Cindy went beyond that, though, because you coached and taught other places, and some of those people came back as well. Teams and that would come and visit you from years gone by.
Right. I've coached for a long time, and so I've been able to connect with a lot of kids in different types of sports, you know, individual sports, team sports, and started out in Jackson, Minnesota with just the greatest young ladies playing in gymnastics, and we had an absolute great time together. And when it's your first team,
yeah,
they just stick with you no matter what. I mean, I would hear from them. We did a couple of things, reunion type of things, and I was shocked when I started getting emails and then kids coming from Jackson to Northfield to come and sit with me, or from Stillwater to Northfield. It was very, very touching and very fun to reconnect.
Yeah, it's always a downside to how we end up reconnecting, because as we get older, a lot of times it ends up at funerals somebody's in distress, but doggone it, it feels good to connect.
It feels very good, and I had the pleasure of seeing my assistant coach in Jackson, and he had a big get-together for all of us, and it was fun being around him again. You don't realize what a great person you're working with.
Yeah.
You do when you're with them, but then
time goes on.
And it's just
kind of like they live dormant in you, doesn't it? And then all of a sudden it can express itself anytime.
Yeah, it's awesome. So
Chuck, you end up at Hill Murray High School, and even there, they pay their respects.
Well, I told the staff last August that I kind of laid myself out. You know, I said it really took three miracles to get me here. And I told the story of Cindy, and so they knew what I was going through. So every 3 to 6 months, you got a scan that's either going to be good or could be really bad. And so she had a scan in May, and they knew it was a good one. And somehow they got the word out that they should all wear purple to the final
scene. And they're green and gold.
Green and gold. So purple is not a real popular color in the halls of Hill Murray.
Yeah.
Green and gold, even though we say all guests are welcome as Christ, probably not wearing purple. So,
because that'd be Cretan right down the road.
Somebody else. So anyway, I walked into this mass and I thought, geez, this person's good. And I looked around and I'm going to guess, counting the kids and staff and families, maybe 1,000 people. And I'd guess 999 had purple. I mean, I just wanted to start to cry. And they said, no, you can't cry. You got to get out there and take a picture. So I'm trying. I looked like a little kid standing there, but it was just, you think you've touched a life or two, and then you walk in and thought, man, maybe I did something right this year, and it really felt good. I mean, I'll keep that picture the rest of my life.
Cindy, you're sitting there and you're battling this, and you know what you're up against, and you've known what you're up against since the beginning, and there's other people out there that are battling things. you know, maybe not exact, but they're struggling and they're going through it. What have you learned about the power of attitude through this?
And I think it is attitude. It's not, people talk about positive thinking, positive, but I think you have to. I think the attitude is the piece, not just positive thinking. You have to get your mind set on what you need to do, and you take it day by day. I have had several people in the last year that have been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and a couple of survivors that I've known that have recently passed away from pancreatic cancer. But I think that being able to go in to get up every morning, number one is get up every morning, mm-hmm. and get out and start doing stuff. And the more active you are, it just seems like your whole body.
Yeah, responds, doesn't it?
Yes, it just. So I think if I said anything to anyone, it's to, yeah, I know you're tired. Chemo is crappy, but you need to get up. Get up, take a shower for girls, you know, get your hair, put on some makeup, just do things that make you feel good. And I think that for me, and for me being able to tell people that, it's just, okay, that's what we can do. We can go out and walk. We can go out and stand. Just standing outside getting fresh air, just moving your body is huge. And I think that whenever I tell people that, I'm hoping that they're taking, you know, like I said, I understand that it's a lot of work, but if you can do it, force yourself to just do something, and then it takes your mind off of what you're trying to beat or go through, and you can look at life a lot easier, and you can find the good things.
Chuck, what advice do you give to the spouse of someone that's going through this, knowing what you know?
Well, you've got to keep your happy face on. I mean, even though you got to be realistic, but you also got to realize that if you want them to be hopeful, you've got to be hopeful yourself. And you got to look on the bright side. And you can't get so shook up about the little piddly things that kind of I'll call them adult drama issues that we can get really worked up about, because you realize there's people out there like Cindy that are carrying a pretty heavy cross around. And if they can do that, why can't I get up and just, what I'm dealing with is simple, nothing, compared to what they deal with. So you've got to be, and you also got to listen. I mean, you got to be available and listen, because they need a chance to vent, because it is not easy. I mean, going through chemo radiation, that's painful, and it takes a lot out of their system. So you've got to be there for them.
But I just want to interject that people that are a spouse of someone who has cancer, I think needs to find some outside things to do. Too, they need to,
because they got to release
it.
Huh?
They need to have a break too.
Yeah. So for example, working as a principal at Hill-Murray is a very healthy thing for him.
Very
not just because it's his profession, but because he can focus on something.
Right. Right. And people will then too. It's that whole piece of love. They just embrace you, and it's a wonderful thing being on my end or being on his end, to have wonderful Benedictine nuns that were awesome.
I get hugged every day by the sisters, and I'm not a big hugger. I've become one, but I think, yeah, you need an outlet where you can contribute and kind of do something where you're not focused on cancer, because otherwise it can overwhelm you. You need something. So I ride my ordinary bike, but you need an outlet where you're doing something just to burn it off.
I hear the mentions of the Catholic faith. What has this done to your faith?
For me, I think that it probably becomes more directed in that when you're asking for something or you're thanking somebody for something, I think you pull it in a whole different part of your body, and you understand that there is something greater and that you can release your frustrations or, you know, anything that's bugging you to be able to give it up, and then you have your faith, your hope, and a belief in the whole system, I think.
Chuck, for you?
Well, I think it's been illuminated why the power of prayer from all sources. But I also think you realize that you got to have patience, because it doesn't matter how hard you and others are praying, that sometimes things take time. Sometimes it doesn't happen the way you want to, but you have to have faith in, you know, God above, and that's
been, you just have to let it go.
Yeah, you got to let it go, because you got to release it and say he's going to help you one way or the other.
Is it hard to let it go and try not to control it? You know, one of the great freedoms in life is when you let something go, whatever it is. You forgive someone. You decide that whatever it is, that angst that's bothering you, you just say, I can't do anything about it anymore except the best that I can. And you just allow it to, you know, to play itself out. Is that a difficult thing, or do you try to control it?
No, I know I can't
yep.
control it. And I have to let things go. Sometimes I have to be reminded. But, you know, I have to think about it and just say, this is so, it's got to go. It's got to go, because it's a toxic part of your body if you want to hang on to things that are uncontrollable. And yet, as a teacher, I like to control most of my situations.
Yeah, most teachers are, yeah. I don't want to say control freaks, but they're used to, you better take charge of that classroom or you're not going to be in charge long.
That's exactly right. So, I think I've always been one to be pretty forgiving of kids, but I think that it's a whole, you see things differently. You maybe can see yourself in a situation, and you see a young person in that same type of situation. You just have more empathy and maybe even the right thing to say at that particular time. I am a big hugger, so my kids at school always have gotten big hugs mm-hmm. from me. But I think you just have that patience where you can step back a little bit and you just give them time. Sometimes that's all a kid needs is some time.
If you gathered them all in an auditorium, all these people from your past that have shown up big, and they gave you the microphone, what would you say to them?
Probably not very much, because I'd be crying.
Oh, yeah. and probably everybody in the room would be.
I would say thank you for time. Because this is a long time that people continue to lift you up. I still get notes. I still get little things on my emails. All those things are so important.
Maybe people don't realize that makes, because you think, well, she's got so many people, but
no,
you don't realize what a difference it makes.
It makes a huge difference. And I think for myself, you are always thinking now, I will do this next week. And it's like, no, you need to do this right now. You need to do this now. You need to let people know you love them mm-hmm. and tell them that.
Well, I can't thank you enough for coming in and talking about a difficult topic that needs to be talked about. And I'm sure that you uplifted more people than you know by taking the time to come down here today.
Well, thank you
Thanks
very
for having
much.
Us.
We
Chuck
appreciate
and Cindy
it.
Briscoe, nice enough to stop by and share her remarkable journey. Through pancreatic cancer and all the people that have surrounded her and lifted her up, as she said. I made a big mistake. I just was talking about going fishing tonight, and I asked Ron Scherer for a tip, and he said, well, what do I know? And I thought, that's exactly right. Why would I ask Ron?
Because you're trained to ask me. That's
I know.
Why. And because normally I come up with a terrific answer.
Yeah, not always true, but a terrific answer.
But it's a terrific answer.
Hey, tonight, though, you and Steve are going to talk about something kind of serious, and that's up at Brainerd.
Yeah.
I mean, these resorts, I've never heard anything. Shut down for 2 weeks, some of them.
Well, we're going to talk to a fishing guide up there who's, you know, lives up there and can give us a little update on what he's seeing. I hear there are a lot of, you know, damaged boats, missing boats, docks all twisted, as you mentioned, Cragans and Maddens shut down for a while, don't know how long. Yeah, very disastrous. Indeed. Then we're also going to talk about the ruffed grouse counts. DNR just finished up.
Ron, we got to go or we're in trouble. Ron,
okay.
Share up next.